Good morning on Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. This is Brian Madden, and you're listening to our BrianMadden.com Year in Review podcast. So thank you all for, thank you all six of you for joining now. I'm here in San Francisco. Jack is here.
Hey there. Good morning.
Gabe is joining us from Omaha. How are you?
Not bad. It's warm. It's 40 degrees. I feel like it's summer right now.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we've discussed before how quickly your tolerance changes once you move here. So it's been in the 40s the past week.
And it's been very cold.
Yeah. Anyway, I had something I was really excited to tell you guys about, and now I completely forget what that was. So I guess we might as well jump into it. I mean, we've done these year in review shows before, I think, right? These podcasts?
It's likely.
I think we did one last year, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know how you guys wanted to, you know, we did not discuss this ahead of time. I just kind of went through the website just page by page by page by page, looking at articles that we wrote this year. You have to go back, 28 pages to get back to January, which is there's 10 articles per page. So that's like 280, you know, things. Now, some of those are like videos from Brian Forman, that kind of stuff, but I mean, we did, especially Jack, with you writing with us now, so with the three of us this year. I mean, we were pretty close to having, you know, writing one article per day.
Yeah, we were.
And so there's 250 days in the year to work, and that's a lot of stuff. So
we each pretty much wrote two articles a week.
Yeah, no, Gabe only gets credit for
crazy.
One.
104. Ah, come on, SVD.
Yeah. Give me a link. Quick, post a link to one. Quick,
search right for dualdesktop.com.
Post a link to one of your articles right now from SVD.
All right.
But
it's coming. I have to wait for the goddamn Roblox ad. We don't have Roblox ads. Here we go.
Yeah, but that's because we can't, not because we don't want to.
I'm not. So do we do this? I made a list of these articles going back by month, and it's I guess a lot of stuff happens a year, but a year is a long time.
I mean,
and such.
The first thing this year, like kind of going back to the beginning of the year, is this is the year that we rolled in EMM into BrianMadden.com. And so when I made the comment about you, Jack, and I said you've been with us, I mean, you've been here at TechTarget
2.5 years.
Yeah, but we had originally been writing the consumerization on Consumerize IT, and I'm looking here. It's January 17th, I guess, is when we rolled that back into BrianMadden.com. So I said BrianMadden.com covers all end-user computing, and that was sort of desktop, mobile, you know, the consumerization, all that sort of stuff. And it's funny because I feel like we have been talking about that for a lot longer than a year. But that is that's the...
We went through a whole year with a separate site, right? I mean, I think, what, Jack came on 2 years ago?
Yeah, you was September of 2011.
Right,
and
then
we probably launched Consumerize IT in, what, February or March of the next year?
No, I thought we launched it in
November.
Yeah. It was in November? Okay. Yeah.
And then by January or February of 2012, that's when I sort of completely took over Consumerize IT. And I remember there was a while there where, you know, man, getting content almost every day for a completely separate website, that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I wrote way, way, way more articles last year than I did this year just because we had two websites to fill.
Well, yeah, and also you were probably not up to speed at all on, like, you know, it's like, what's new guy going to do today? Well, are we ready for him to give a speech? Nah, or can do a consult? Just do another article. but it's funny because it was January when we announced the, you know, we're going to roll Consumerize IT and sort of consumerization and enterprise mobility back into BrianMadden.com. And then on February 14th, we had an article explaining how desktop virtualization and EMM are merging into this, you know, whole new approach to end-user computing. And it's funny because that article came out a month after we merged the websites, which is like we had merger fail. We merged the websites, and people were like, God damn, you guys write about Apple a lot.
Yeah. Why do you guys write so many articles about iPhones?
But that's, you know, so that February 14th article about the merging of desktop virtualization and EMM was one of my favorites, because that's the one where, oh my God, I used this picture before. Sorry, I'm just looking at this. That's the one where we, you know, say, look, if you don't, you know, desktop people are really about deploying desktop applications, and if you deploy desktop applications to phones, your users are going to screw you and go do their own thing. So it really kind of all is related. So anyway, that is good stuff. Most of them written by this guy. We have some kind of I think there's a bug in BrianMadden.com, because I'm looking at this article from February 14th. Let's see. Let's open my little chat window here. Well, okay. Let me back up. Amongst the many bugs on BrianMadden.com are this one. So if you look at our February 14th article announcing we're merging together consumerized IT, or sorry, EMM, there's a picture that says this guy, which is supposed to be Jack, but it's actually the picture from Beautiful Mind that I used a few weeks ago when I was talking about, like, you know, the complexities of unified infrastructure. Anyway, so that was this year. The merging of these technologies.
So that was January.
Wow, look at that old book cover.
You know what else happened in January, which is pretty badass? the Surface RT. So the Surface RT, you know, my Surface RT, you know, I have an article called Microsoft Should Be Ashamed at How Awful the Surface RT Tablet Is. The Rant to End All Rants. And, I'm only 16,000 page views on that, so it's not. It's got 64 tweets. Ooh, 55 LinkedIns.
Hey, but you know, now the rumor is now that there was that Microsoft executive that was quoted as saying, going forward, we're not going to have three different operating systems. So, and if you had to pick one to not have, I think it'd be Windows RT.
Yeah,
I'd worry that it'd be Windows.
I'd worry that it'd be, yeah, it's not gonna be Xbox, and it's.
I mean, if you consider it, so also in January was when, you know, Windows Phone 8 hadn't been around that long, but I spent the month of January and a little while longer as a Windows Phone 8 user. And that was, you know, that was an interesting experience. But if you look at where we are now at the end of 2013, we can definitely answer the question of who is the dominant third smartphone platform, because you know, the story
I don't know, I have no idea.
Oh, like, yeah.
I think you're saying Windows.
What's that? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now you have an iPhone. I just want to point that out to everyone.
Well, I said the dominant third party smartphone, but this, and like, we know which one is second too after your experience.
But
this year
this is like Royal Crown. This is like saying like Royal Crown is the dominant third soda maker. I mean, like, yes, they are strongly in third place with 0.04% of the market.
No, it's there were some figures, you know, that it's not terrible. I mean, it's they're definitely.
Why don't you still have one?
That's a different question.
So,
but it's not because it's terrible.
Correct. It's because it doesn't have iTunes, basically.
Yeah. So.
But regardless, my point is that we entered 2013 with this question of, hey, is either one of these third-party smartphone platforms, either BlackBerry 10 or Windows Phone 8, is one of them? Which one of them is going to become the viable third alternative to iOS and Android? And now that the year is over, I think that question has been definitively answered.
Oh, it has, eh? You know, we have a lot of articles from Q1 also about BlackBerry 10 and the delays and finally being released and the Z10 and the Q10 and all that kind of stuff. And that just happened. Oh my God, BlackBerry tweeted the other day about, like, you know, someone saying, like, all I want for Christmas is you. And it's a picture of a BlackBerry. And I'm like, and they retweeted it, but then I you like click on I guess this is, you know, hearsay, but it appears that they found the fanboy, the fangirl, actually, because it was not, that did not look like, it could have been an independent source, but it looked very suspicious, I will say, when you click on that source tweet. I'm like, who the F is tweeting, "All I want for Christmas is you," and putting a picture of a BlackBerry? Like, you know there's iPhones, right?
There's the guy that covers the Buckeyes for a sports radio station in Cleveland. He proudly flaunts that he has a BlackBerry, and they all the other people on the radio show make fun of him for being this old guy who's not technologically savvy. But they said the same thing. Like, haven't you ever heard of an iPhone?
Well, so having said that, so we'll look at where BlackBerry is ending the year. I don't know how much you guys have read about John Chen, the interim CEO.
Who the what of how?
So the new interim CEO of BlackBerry that got installed.
Did he replace
2 or 3
the
months
ago? Co-CEOs? Are they both out?
He replaced Thorsten Hines. And anyway, so apparently like 15 years ago, this guy really turned around SAP when they were in a similar situation, everyone calling them completely dead. And look at SAP now. So it's definitely a different development for the end of the year.
But BlackBerry, at this point, they have to be targeting Microsoft, right? I mean, like, that's all you can do. Like, what's the fourth cola? You know, if you're generic corn syrup based cola that's not going after a niche like the granola crowd or the, you know, American crowd or whatever. Like, if you're that, you're not targeting Coke or Pepsi. You're like, all right, Royal Crown, your days are numbered.
Yeah, that's where they've got to be. But I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. They have to. They've got to be in the bottom, right? I mean, just the bottom. Bottom. Is there any other smartphone in a company besides Windows, Android, or iOS? I mean, I don't think so.
There's a few people at TechTarget who still use BlackBerries, but it's very specifically where it's just a work phone for them. And
I know. I would still. I wonder if they're still number three.
Do you know that, Jack?
In corporate usage?
Yeah, with Windows being number 4.
For corporate usage, I would it's got to be that.
You think so?
Yeah.
But there are a few. I mean, I know of two coworkers who have BlackBerries who they also have iPhones for personal, but they choose BlackBerries cuz they want to just leave their work at home. Which, by the way, is a quick side note. How cool would it be if there was like a do not disturb, like you could select which alerts and which apps and then group them together, like for Notification Center. So I wish I could take all my, you know, the work mail, the work calendar, the work, like Twitter, Hootsuite, like these apps that I call, quote unquote, work apps, and like group them together in a notification bucket and then do like do not disturb based on groups and with time. So I can say after 6 o'clock, turn off all my alerts for just the work apps, but keep my, you know, voicemail, Gmail, and that kind of stuff.
Well, turn off your automatic OS updates and wait for the jailbreaks to catch up.
Well, yeah. You know what's funny, by the way? So I switched, you know, from Android to iPhone, and I've got to give the Android phone back to someone in corporate IT back in Boston. And so I actually fired it up last night so I could wipe it. And even in the firing it up to like remote, like, or not remote, like just to like reset the thing, I was like, yeah, I made the right choice. I'll tell you what though, to this day, I do miss the swipe keyboard. I still on the iPhone, 2 weeks later, try to slide my finger across the keyboard. And the iPhone also is really stupid about, it's autocorrect. I think it's autocorrect is based on like the words you type, not like it's like looking at what's on the screen and like looking it up in a dictionary. So if you have like two words, if you type like I'm going or something like that, but you accidentally type like IN going and then don't have a space, it'll like ingon, like it'll try and say, oh, you mean like unwound. You know, like it doesn't recognize like, hey, the it doesn't like sort of recognize if you missed a space. And furthermore, like a space that like, commits the word, I feel like. So once you hit space, whatever autocorrected. So if you like are going for like an Android, if you're trying to hit the B key and you hit the space bar, but like in the middle, it knows you were in the vicinity of the B. And it's like, oh, if we replace the space with the B, that's an actual word. And it will do that. Whereas on iPhone, if you hit a space, it's like two misspelled words and it tries to independently correct each of those words, even though they're both gobbledygook. I don't know if that's making sense.
Yeah, well, what you're saying is, yes, the iPhone is aware. So if you misspell a word and tell it that that was the proper spelling of the word, then the next time you spell it, it probably won't tell you. Or it might even suggest it. Or it might try to autocorrect it to, you know, some other word back to that word that you misspelled and sort of, you know, and validated it. And which I kind of like, but...
Well, I was saying the space... I was saying the problem with the iPhone is the space bar... It doesn't recognize – the iPhone, as far as I can tell, has no recognition that the space bar might accidentally be a character that you meant to hit a key, but you accidentally hit the space bar. So if you're typing a six-letter word, but you accidentally, instead of hitting the B key, letter three, you accidentally hit space, it views it as four-letter word and three-letter word and two separate words. And it doesn't have any like intelligence to say, hey, maybe those were like actually grouped together as one word and he just hit the space bar by mistake instead of hitting the N key or something.
I feel like that's happened to me before, but definitely more often than not, it's you know, one of those situations where it tries to normalize both words, and then you end up with like, you know, orange goblet instead of you know, whatever two words you actually wanted to put, like two completely unrelated words. And you think, really? You're satisfied with that? You have a dictionary and that's the best you can come up with.
Yeah, I wish it could be something where what is it that like those voice training applications where you point it towards your Gmail login and it just goes through, you know, your 100,000 Gmail messages and builds a dictionary automatically. I wish Apple could do that. So
yeah.
Anyway, so back to the whole Surface RT thing and this stuff we were talking about. So on Sunday I was out at dinner and I didn't have the table was busy. There was seating at the bar, so we sat at the bar. And this girl comes up next to us and like breaks out a Surface RT tablet, and she had like kind of flannel shirt on and like two nose piercings, so like double cool, I guess. Like, you know,
hipster probably trying to be ironic.
But it was a Surface RT, and so she starts using it, and like she's like sitting at the bar, like at the glass of wine, like, you know, some appetizers, and I'm like, I'm sorry, can I just ask you? Like, I just had to break in. And she was very talky. She talked for like 10 minutes. I was like, all right, yeah, well, I'm sorry for bothering. Thanks. She's like, no, it's, and she kept on going. I'm like, my God. So, but just as a data point, so, cause I was like, did you pick this device, or did someone give it to you, or do you work for them? I literally said it like that. So her thing, so just, it was more data points. The interesting thing was, for her, it's office, like having real office on there. But it's kind of funny because she was like, no, it's actually not that bad. Like, they have Facebook now. So there's apparently a Facebook app for Windows Store.
I guess it's the Chromebook thing, though, too. You know, if everything she needs to do is on the web and it can get on the web, then...
Well, real office.
And it has office.
Yeah. So here's the thing for her. So she said, and this is interesting also, she said, 100%, I would love a MacBook Air. Like, that's my dream thing, and I would replace this in an instant with a MacBook Air, but it's too expensive. Now, I don't know what I don't know what these Surface RTs are selling for. But she was very cost conscious.
About $45.
Well, they were giving away at like TechEd for like $100, and people were lined up, or at least, you know, the photos that Microsoft sent, people were lined up out the door to get them. Now, who knows? That could have been like they shut down registration and took a photo of that. But
well, it's like the HP, like, you know, like when HP, that HP Touch OS, what do they call that thing? The Hammer, MC Hammer, what was that called? HP. Justin, what was that called?
WebOS? No. That was Palm.
I always call it Hammer because it's like got some like 90s rapper name in it. But when they sold that thing for $100, and then remember like
people went batshit over that.
Remember
though,
Amy? Remember Amy and Tom like at HP, and they were like, "Man, this is too bad. That device like had a lot of legs." I'm like, "Yeah, at $100, it costs you $700 to make."
Well, I'm looking at RTs. RTs are $290.
Okay, so that cost. So that is way cheaper than a MacBook Air. So that's and this girl had the flat keyboard, not the typing one. And
was she using the fold-out stand?
She was. And she said, and she's like, yeah, this keyboard, it's pretty good. Like, they have another keyboard that's like has buttons.
Like, did you tell her you had one under your desk that you'd give her?
I forgot about that actually. But she's like, but it's like $100, and I can't afford it. So for her, it's a cost thing. But what was awesome?
I actually have that one.
What was awesome about this is she said, so I was like, all your documents, do you use like Dropbox or do you use SkyDrive? And then she's like, oh, yeah, I used to use Dropbox. Like, everyone else uses Dropbox, but Dropbox doesn't work on here. So there's SkyDrive. And she goes, it's fine. And SkyDrive is way bigger anyways, which is kind of nice. Because I'm sure she's like free tier for everything. So I'm sure SkyDrive is like 50 gigs, I think, for a year. The first year is free. And she's like, there's this other cool thing we have at work where you can – and she was pretty good at the multitasking. I had not seen where you take your finger and swipe in from the left and a little preview icons come up. And you can grab a – I'm illustrating this for those in the room. You can touch one of the little icons for the app and then release it, and it'll pop up side by side. And since the Surface RT is like super wide screen, like 2-to-1 ratio – you can, she's like, I can be on the web and like be typing Word at the same time. And she said that was really cool. But she also showed, she's like, there's this cool thing at work. And she like swings something from the side and hits a button, hits connect. And then she connects to her desktop via like RDP or whatever. And she's like, what's cool? So if I have a file at work, I can just drag it onto SkyDrive right from my work computer. And then it just appears right here. And she's like, I know we're not supposed to do that. But like, it's like client data. We're not supposed to do that. But I need to do it to work. And like, she actually said this, and it's great because this is like some flannel wearing, you know, nose pierced hipster in a bar, who's like fooding. So
she was just fooding there right in front of everybody for everyone to see.
This is such a San Francisco bar experience. That's what this is.
Well, you know, so last night I saw with Paul, I saw Andrew Bird, which by the way, I'm going to say top three concerts of my life. And in line, like during intermission in line, I just noticed like, dude in front of me has got Amazon Web Services hoodie. This guy's got, you know, Google Code Project hoodie. Like, it's just it's just everyone.
So, you know, she's showing you that multitasking and stuff and does look kind of neat. You know, have you ever tried it, though? The issues that I have with that is more of just a Windows 8 thing in general is that, A, it's not all that intuitive to use. You really have to have touch to do it. And so if you actually have Windows 8, it's not all that, you know, Windows 8 on a desktop, it's not all that helpful. And you really can't resize each of those windows. The internet side is stuck in a, you know, 1/3 screen width pane, and Word is stuck in the other pane. And you can kind of move things around, but you don't actually have the ability to fine tune that.
Actually, 8.1 changed that, I think.
I think you have more options,
but it's
still not user selectable. I mean, it's not down to the fine grain detail.
So pixel to pixel, yeah.
Right. There are there are more, but still a finite number of ways that you can arrange the windows that we will allow. And I don't know what that limitation is. It seems kind of crazy that it's even there.
I was like, why bother? It was sort of a desktop mode, though, versus, you know, finger. Like, you wouldn't be using that in desktop mode.
So the Surface RT happened in January.
Jack's done.
I was also looking at these other announcements here, you know, that we had earlier in this year. Like all the way back then, remember that was when Del Wise first announced the mini PC thin client, the Android mini PC thin client.
The hell is that?
There's the Project Ophelia.
Oh, yeah, the plugin one. It's like, well, that was very successful because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so this thing, and I still have the little Android mini PC that I bought just to see if that form factor worked out. That one, I remember Dell was very happy, very excited about this, and they still are, although I haven't heard much about it lately. So when I was not all that excited about it, it was sort of a letdown, I think. But There's a lot of folks out there that, well, to some others though too. There's a lot of people out there that for some reason really like the concept of the Android thin client on a stick that you can just plug into some other monitor and it'll work. But from my standpoint, the monitor has to have too many things for this to work perfectly. And really, the monitor is not the end of that challenge. So the monitor has to have an MHL-enabled HDMI port so that it can provide it enough voltage to run. Otherwise, you have to find a TV or a computer that has a HDMI port and a USB port, and you have to pull out your little mini cable to plug into the USB port to give this thing 5 volts of power. So just getting it connected can be troublesome, and you know the whole use case of using it in a hotel or something like that is, you know, I'm about 50-50 when I can find a hotel with a working HDMI port and a TV. The other thing is that, and I'm just not convinced about Android as a thin client. And you know, we talked about this. I think we dedicated a whole podcast or two to it. Android is a thin client OS. I just don't know how viable it is because Android was made for tablets and phones, and some people would argue that it was barely made for tablets. So by the time we put it into a desktop form factor, it becomes a challenge not only for a user to use, but also for a company who wants to use it as that kind of platform to redevelop it and tweak it so that it's an okay experience.
Let me ask you. So I agree that Android, 99.9% of Android apps are made for small screens and made for touch. Do you know, and I'm saying this as a question, I'm not like as a challenge to your opinion. it's funny, challenging your opinion.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I mean? But no, for real. So like ViewSonic has these Android, you know, all-in-one thin clients. Does the Citrix receiver for Android, is there I don't want to call it desktop version, but does it have the smarts that it behaves differently if it's on, you know, a giant screen with a mouse and keyboard versus...
You know, so I have one of these things sitting in front of me,
yeah.
and I would love to be able to answer that authoritatively. The problem is I can't because I need to have Zen Mobile set up in order to activate this device, essentially. As soon as you turn the thing on, it tries to you have to – I forget what the word is they use, but you have to join it to Zen Mobile.
Oh, that's what you're doing yesterday?
That's why I'm trying to do it. So incidentally, I'm hung up on Apple stuff, and so I really could just ignore the Apple stuff and carry on and do the Android stuff. But I wanted to try to get it all done at once so we could just kind of bang on this thing. But I would assume that they went through that effort. I know that I've seen some demos in person at conferences, and it looks good. Once you get it, if you're only using the device, the Android thin client, to connect to desktops, I think you're going to get just a fine experience. I don't know how the Android receiver works compared to the Windows receiver or that sort of thing, or the Linux one, but it should be fine from what I've seen and played with at shows. It's when we're talking about doing the other things, though. If you're trying to say use Android not only to access your desktops, but also for all the other things that you would normally use Android for.
Oh yeah, that's crap.
And that's when I have some real doubts in whether that form factor can pay off in that use case.
Yeah, I agree.
Otherwise, though, I mean, if we're just talking about Android as your thin client, I'm pretty okay with that. And now that we have MDM to manage these things, maybe this is the best use case for MDM.
That's my question, because now you don't need a separate management platform. Whatever you're doing to manage your mobile devices, you could use that same platform to also manage your thin clients.
That is true. And that's so if this, you know, Dell Ophelia thing becomes just a small thin client that you plug into the back of your also Dell monitor that has an MHL enabled HDMI port, that's fine. But I don't want it to be a thing that I take with me as a user. I just, you know, as an IT guy, I think, all right, great. Here's your thin client. Plug it into the back of your monitor and go. That to me seems like a fairly valid use case. But anything beyond that, and I think we're starting to get into the I don't know kind of territory.
All right. So, Jack, do you have a list of things? Because where are we now? February?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to February. So what else is on your list for what we did this year? Because I'm looking at, you know, a bunch of little things like Citrix released Zen Mobile, VMware, like Horizon came out. Like there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So February... And February started out with like the big news for something that we talked about the rest of the year for the mobile space, which was at the Mobile World Congress, Samsung announced Knox, its dual persona version of Android that it puts on certain phones. So that sort of got a new conversation around operating system enabled dual persona and mobile app management that was pretty much a theme of the EMM discussions for the whole rest of the year.
So that the fact, and I think that also launched the discussions of the fact that, pardon me, a lot of people realized that there is no Android operating system. Like, it's not iOS versus Android. It is iOS versus Samsung, iOS versus Motorola, iOS versus HTC.
It's probably not even that, right? It's iOS versus Verizon, Motorola Galaxy, or Samsung Galaxy S3 versus Galaxy S4 on T-Mobile.
Go to Cyanogen mod your phone. There's like 40,000 different downloads for Galaxy S4.
Fragmentation.
Yeah, it's a pain. Then, you know, around that time, you know, I have marked, so February was when AppSense's EMM solution actually became available, and also the Citrix Zen Mobile, after they bought Zen Prize and incorporated the mobile app management stuff that they were building, that's when that actually came out. February as well, the complete or next version of the VMware Horizon Suite came out. February was a big month.
Oh, right. And February is when I had one of my favorite articles. Where is it? VMware clarifies my facts. They're not. It's not that they're saying not to use Mirage with Vue. They're just saying it's not supported.
Yeah, and then
that
it was
my favorite article. And as a matter of fact, I have not talked to a VMware employee since then. apart from like going to VMworld and like chit chats in the halls, but I was cut off after that.
Yeah, because so all the way then, you know, the next big VMware thing, so that was February, and then for VMware in May, they released Horizon Mobile for Android, and the big news there was that so Horizon Mobile is of course the mobile virtualization platform where you put a Type 2 ish. You know, a hypervisor on a phone to run your corporate environment. But of course, it requires this kernel module to be embedded in the phone. But what we found out then is that Verizon and, you know, for some of its phones, in their over-the-air updates that the carriers do, they were deploying that kernel module, which meant that Horizon Mobile was actually available for a lot larger base of phones than we initially thought. So that was... that was the big news in May.
Is anyone using it? But like, is it? Do you know of any? So okay, so all these phones have it.
I haven't met anybody yet.
It's harder to find. I know. Like, it's not like it's not like a Surface RT, which is like, why the F is there a Surface RT on this bar?
But, yeah. and then rolling into you know, of course, the end of August, we had VMworld with their desktop as a service announcements in vSAN and Mirage, then finally Mirage supported in VDI.
Although, so I'm at this dinner at Denver last week and I'm talking to a guy and he's like, hey, I thought, he was asking me about Mirage, inside Vue VDI. And he's like, you know, anyone who's using this? I'm like, nah. He's like, yeah, we tried it. And he's like, We got the like the VMware actual like field engineer out there and working on it, and it does not work. So it had something to do with there was a problem with the VSA and not the VSA, is that what they call it? The tools you install inside your VM, your Vue agent. So anyway, so I don't know the full story on that, but it was not. He's like, yeah, this is not working. Anyway, go on.
Interesting. I wonder if they were, because right now it's only supported on persistent desktops and they were going to try to do it on non-persistent. I think I have that order right. So maybe they were trying to do it the way that is not totally supported yet.
He said the guy from VMware was there for a couple of days and the guy was embarrassed. He's like, I don't know what's selling, man. It is not. We'll find out.
That's like one of those Kevin Goodman stories. Like, yeah, I have to go to customers. You know, part of his old jobs, list of old jobs was I have to go to customers and tell them that, that thing we said we could do, we can't do that.
I'll be like, who is that guy? Was he like 5'9 and told a ton of stories? Did he offer you any whiskey? Did he try to play poker with you?
So, yeah.
So I guess, right. So I guess there's pretty much VMware for 2013.
Okay. So that's what?
So,
that's
so far. March, so, so that that's February. Yeah. May. Hey, so this one I had actually kind of forgotten about a little bit. Remember the Microsoft Mojaro rumors?
Yeah.
About desktops hosted in Azure.
Yeah.
I don't think anything came of that, did it? Or,
well, I mean, so yeah. I feel like I'm still talking about that quite a bit. But it's
not yet. Microsoft, I don't think, has even confirmed it.
Yeah, it was
outside
never
of you know anonymous
yeah, was,
reports.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so we talk about that now when we talk about DAS, because now that Amazon has DAS, you know, back when we first wrote about Mojaro, which was probably what 4, 5, 6 months ago, even in the comments there, I think it might have been Harry that said that, you know, Microsoft is going to have to do something because of Amazon's efforts. And at that point, I don't think anybody even knew about Amazon stuff going on. So kudos to whoever actually said that. So now that Amazon has released their DAS solution, VMware bought Desktone, Citrix has their own stuff, you know, plus we have all the other traditional sort of, or, you know, classic DAS providers out there. You know, Microsoft, if these rumors prove true, could be really onto something. So the weird thing though is that all we've known or all we've gotten any bit of anonymous confirmation about from Microsoft is that it's been described as remote app from the cloud, which is not the same as DAS necessarily. This is more like just sending seamless applications out to users,
yeah,
not
like
entire
mainframe,
desktops.
Mainframe two sort of.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, not exactly, but your statement is. So that's what we are kind of waiting to see. And I don't know if we're going to have to wait as long as TechEd next year. I was looking forward to MMS, but that's not happening. So I think we have to wait until the summer.
MMS
maybe
is canceled as a show?
MMS is being rolled into TechEd.
Is this their mission accomplished moment? Desktops managed.
So yeah, I mean, it's just going to get lost, I think, in the noise of TechEd. Not that TechEd's bad, but MMS was cool because it was very focused and it was all enterprise and it was all just about management. But you know, I guess it is what it
Did
is.
Did you go to TechEd last year, Jack?
Yeah, I went to both TechEd and MMS last year.
All right, great. So
they were
again.
Cool.
All right, good.
I feel like it overlaps with like Bri Forum or something.
Oh, good for us.
The
it overlaps with Bri Forum in London.
Oh,
there we go. So then looking at what happened for the year. So the other thing that happened in May. So, I guess Bri Forum was before Synergy. So I'll do that first. So Bri Forum, we had these themes of storage and graphics solved for VDI. Or that was the big theme of your keynote, right?
Yeah, and that's what I talk about. Yeah, and I've written about this a lot and talk about how 2013, the two biggest showstoppers of VDI are sort of solved. And I still believe that to be true. The storage one for sure, that there's so many different ways out there to do it. But there, if you want to deliver persistent desktops and not break the bank, you can now do that. And, you know, 2012 and before, that just wasn't possible. On the graphics side, it's a bit – it's funny. It depends on who you talk to. I mean, the grid stuff is just coming out now. I mean, it's just – you know, NVIDIA announced this in March, I think. And it is just now kind of rolling out, and people are sort of starting to understand it. And, you know, then there's some people who are like – I would say, oh, yeah, you got to use this. It's really great. And then – but Amazon doesn't offer it in workspaces in their DAS. And I'm like, well, you got to use Amazon too. And then the NVIDIA people were like, tell Amazon they got to make it with our stuff. And then you talk to Dan Cordingley last week. I don't know if you listen to that show, Jack. And he's like, I mean, do you need it really? I don't know. It seems fine without. I've been using it without for a long time.
It's like you got divorced parents. Tell your father.
Yeah. So who the hell knows? But I, you know, I still stand behind. I mean, I do believe that. So again, not to say that all VDI must have GPU, but it is true that a lot of VDI was not happening because because you didn't have GPU virtualization capabilities, and now that's a thing. So, so that and the storage, you know, to offer persistent for not a ridiculous price. Yeah, those are both huge.
So there's a theme of kind of like the theme of Bri Forum London. And then just this year, we had like the back-to-back Bri Forum London and Citrix Synergy.
Literally back-to-back. Most of the speakers left Bri Forum in London and flew directly to L.A. I tried to go home first, so I was home for 32 hours, I think, just enough time to get screwed up on the time zones and then head two more time zones west. So it was a bad idea. Thankfully, this year, we're not doing that. But
Yeah.
And that's where we actually got our first demo of NVIDIA Grid was at Synergy. And that was kind of a cool demo because they showed my favorite takeaway from that is that they showed that same old I can't remember the name of the app now. SolidWorks demo of the Sea-Doo personal torpedo looking thing.
Yeah.
The same demo that everybody has shown for the last 10 years that says, hey, look, we support 3D in remote desktops now, or remote applications. And it's what I never realized, it's one of those things where, as an IT guy, if I look at that, I go, oh, yeah, it looks or it works, see? And then you take it down to your 3D designers and you show it to them and you're all proud and you think, hey, look, you know, I got it working, guys. You can do this now. And they look and they're like, man, this looks so silly. And then you see their desktop and there's three different light sources and lots of shadows and textures and gradients and colors. And the demo that they showed at Synergy had that their demo of it side by side with our old classic traditional demo of it. And it blew me away to see it. So
like – you're like, whoa, it was supposed to look like this all along? Whoops.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I had no idea.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's like you just showed that you were just watching something in black and white, and they just showed you the color 3D HD version, and you're like, oh. Whoa.
Yeah, I want to go back to all the old articles that talk about how 3D support is there and edit them.
3D-ish.
Can I just strike through this whole article? So, yeah, and it did move in 3D, but that was it. There wasn't any of the other effects that we care about. So we went through and we talked to NVIDIA about this kind of technology for a good year and a half or so before then. But it was at Synergy that they made their first big announcement or, you know, first unveiling. CEO of NVIDIA actually came out on stage at the keynote with like 10 minutes of knowledge that he was going to be doing that. Got off the plane, said, hey, you're going to go up on stage. And then he went up on stage. So I was impressed with that.
He's one of the CEOs I know that also read our VDI Delusion book. And so I was, so he's now like, you know, my favorite CEO camp.
Michael Dell also read it.
That's correct. Power. Jack, power is a reference to Michael Dell. Watch Michael Dell do an interview and watch like G.W. Bush do an interview and it's like the same because in Synergy it doesn't matter, it's a long story, but it's funny.
So Synergy is also where I got the demo of the ViewSonic thin client that I have sitting on my desk right now, and so it was back in May that I got to see this in action.
And you've been trying to set it up ever since.
And no, I won't sell them that short. I got this thing last week and I only started messing with it yesterday. So it has an HDMI port on the back of it that I was and it has a button to switch inputs. But every time I do it, it just switches right back to the Android. So I was really hoping if nothing else, it could be, a television.
Ooh, wait, so is this the touch based one?
Yeah, I can't wait to like set it up. And give myself access to install things and then show my son how to play Angry Birds on a 26-inch TV.
So the port was on the back. Nice.
Yeah, in theory, you shouldn't need it, I guess.
And you guys
right?
are like, what the F are you talking about? So I got this briefing of ViewSonic, you know, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about.
And I'm like, all right, guys. I'm like, do you guys make your own panels? You know, the actual display panels? Like, no, those are made by, you know, there's like Samsung and Sharp, and that's it. I'm like, all right. You guys, it's a contract manufacturer for thin clients. I'm like, is it your design? Is it someone else's licensed? And they're like, there's other ones out there of the same design. I'm like, all right. So, you know, you don't make your own panels. You don't make your own chips. You don't make your own innards. It's all contract. You don't have your own plants to make the stuff. Like, what the hell do you guys actually do besides silkscreen a logo on something that someone else made? Like, why am I paying for this ViewSonic? And the guy's like, well, we have, you know, 20 years of display expertise. I mean, from, you know, like how it looks on the desk to like how the ports are laid out. We know what we're doing.
We have people skills.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, but look at the plumage. I mean, it's, I'm like, the port. So this is like, there's some joke in there that's going to become a running joke with us about like, but look at the ports. Look at that spacing, huh? Between those ports. Look at that spacing. Look at how even they are in a row. Look at that. So, yeah, look at the ports. But look at the ports. So Gabe's like, oh, it's got this port on the back. I'm like, ooh, on the back. Nice. Yeah, it does.
So
there's other ones too. I don't know why it has so many, actually.
Yeah. It's like the homework car of ports. Like, yeah, this ViewSonic is a 24-inch client. It's got 16 HDMI ports. It's got four different, you know, RGB, you know, composite ports or component ports. It's got a Nintendo hookup, a Game Boy hookup.
That's video.
Yeah.
It's got an access panel to get to the ports.
Yeah, see? Yeah. It's got VESA 100 and VESA 200 mounts.
Two regular USB ports, one mini, one micro. An additional mini and micro, I mean. I didn't know that you could plug so many things into an Android device.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why I can't wait to get it working.
But the ports.
All right. So anyway, I'm not, you know, we'll see how it plays. I don't really care about the ports, but we'll see how it works whenever I actually get it running. We're taking off the week between Christmas and New Year's. Hopefully, I'll get it working.
So Gabe can set up a Zen Mobile. Okay, yeah. Who's going to happen faster? I'll work on a dad's book, and you set up Zen Mobile. I'll race you.
You want to trade?
Hell no.
I think I can. Well, because Android is Android, I'm pretty sure if I ignore the iOS parts of Zen Mobile, I can make this thing work really quick because it's Android. But we shall see.
Yeah, that's true, because I always heard that in Android, everything just works.
Well, except for right out of the box with this thing. You still have to have Zen Mobile. You know, so that's the other thing, too, is apparently ViewSonic is tied pretty tightly with Zen Mobile here. I don't know if it's even possible to use some other NDM to manage this. So that's something to think about as well, because right now there's a few Android-based thin client solutions out there. But as far as I know, they're all tied to specific vendors. So I don't know if you'd be able to manage, say, a Dell Ophelia device with anything other than one of the three MDM packages Dell has. Is it still three? Do they actively sell all of their MDM?
They had four for a while, right?
It was four. Yeah, I'm actually going to – so last week they released their new EMM product, which I got a real quick briefing, and I said, like, hey, this new EMM product that they released last week, like 8 months ago, there were four products. So where did everything come from? And they told – it was – like it wasn't just they took one product and like, oh, we're just going to go this one. It's a whole bunch of everything from everywhere. So
Dell released their amalgamated EMM product.
Yeah.
Well, I have a phone call later today to get to the bottom of that.
All right, okay. So where are we on your list? We're in
June.
All right. We have 1 minute per month, so go.
So June was the big enterprise mobility month. iOS 7 was announced. Office on iOS was released. Windows 8.1 was announced that it would have mobile device management capabilities. And at the end of the book, at the end of the month, my book was released. So that was
all right. Well, that's the best part of the month, right there.
And you did, and of course, you did that article, I think, last week. And it turns out that the MDM capabilities of Windows are actually just for the new Windows Store side of things. The desktop side with traditional Windows apps, you're still on your own. There's no MDM for that.
Right. We had this this big long conversation about how if you're just using MDM, but you have some Windows apps, if there's any way that you can do it with them running locally, And the idea was that if you're running them locally, then you might as well just manage traditionally, because otherwise it's a lot of work.
Yeah. All right. So that's June. So your book sells. Your book is out. You got the new one out too for iOS 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's on a Kindle only, right?
Right on the Kindle.
Are people buying it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. You can't tell if it's like the same people. Well, I guess if people bought the old Kindle version, it updates to this one automatically.
Yeah. Yeah. In theory, once Amazon gets that update pushed through.
Is that still not?
I don't know. Check in your Kindle.
All right. I'll check right now.
So that was June. July, Brian left the CTP program.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was actually sort of – I was thinking in my mind like that was a big deal, but that was not really the same as Brian leaving the Microsoft MVP
program. Oh, yeah.
Program.
That was left like on friendly terms. Like I was just – it was just awkward for me to be in the CTP and talking about NDA, like long-term Citrix roadmap, but then – yeah, like having to write it just didn't feel right.
So that one, friendly terms, as opposed to
I still like
leaving the Microsoft MVP program, which was
Citrix I like, Microsoft F them.
Yeah,
tweet, Microsoft comma F them. How do I tell? On Kindle, how do I tell if it...
the July also was in the VDI world. That was when Oracle shut down Sunray and VDI and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard from any of the any of those Oracle folk to see if they've caught on anywhere or any of that. We should probably check in with that. I think you were actually out here visiting at the time that happened, because we had a call with somebody that we know from there just to confirm that it happened. That's a shame that it did, but you know, Oracle wasn't really doing a whole lot with it, so not terribly surprising that they decided to focus on Secure Global Desktop instead, which probably really is the future. But it's a shame it had to go down the way it did.
Yeah.
Let's see. July also, we had Bryform. We had FS Logics launched at Bryform.
Yes, they did. So they actually waited. I don't think anybody's ever done this before. We've had companies show up in stealth mode and not come out of stealth mode. They just existed there and lurked and didn't talk about what products they were doing.
God. That was so awkward. Extreme IO back in like... Is that the one?
2010 or 2011 in London.
But they were in stealth mode, so they wouldn't pass out any information. Like, I'm like, you guys gave us money to be here in a booth. I mean, like, thank you for that. But seriously, like, but they're like, no, we're not talking about what we're doing. I'm like, why are you here?
Just wait. Can you just sign this release that you will not complain about this?
Yeah, this is awkward. They didn't want us to do a video or anything. I remember Justin, like, comes up because, like, you know, Justin's recording all the videos. And he's like, all right, I got them all. But, like, this one company, like, they don't want to do a video. Like, what do you mean? Like, they won't let me. Like, what? But it's like, yeah, they don't want that much notoriety. I'm like, but they're here. This is what?
So Kevin Goodman's FS Logics is the first company. We'll give them the award for the first company to come out of stealth mode at Bryform and to release their product. So, and FS Logics was straightening out all the application virtualization stuff that we've been dealing with over the years. Instead of trying to package separate applications and deploy them all and stream them or find some sort of deployment scenario, they just said, screw that. We're putting it all on one device. And you can just turn on or off the applications as you see fit. And so we were very happy to have them there. And of course, Kevin's a good friend, and he's been a supporter of Bryform for a long time.
I mean, it's Randy also. Like,
I can't forget about Randy.
It's Kevin and Randy doing this together. Randy Cook, and so he's the sort of inventor of SVS and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our first like. we had other announcements in the past that happened while Bryform was going on, but I think this is the first company that actually said like we're going to use Bryform as our launch. So that was kind of cool.
So then
August, well, VMworld, we pretty much covered that already.
VMware, I will say that the thing about VMware is they talked about this whole VDI 2.0 thing and how like now, you know, like now that they were offering, now they have like vSAN and Horizon in view and all that. Mirage in view. Now they're saying, hey, as you know, VDI had a lot of limitations when it was only based on shared images. But now that you can do persistent, and they started talking about all these benefits of persistent, I'm like, I don't know. it's funny how like they just trashed us every time we like nonstop until all of a sudden they do exactly what we're talking about, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, as you all know, haha!" I'm like, "You jerkheads, jerkheads." They were jerkheads. Although actually, that was the thing where Scott Davis, I weirdly like that guy because what happened there's some other incidents at VMworld where some people didn't agree with some stuff that we wrote, some vendors, and they like reacted in very crazy ways. And Scott Davis, I wrote something that he's like, you know, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you. Like this article you wrote, you know, like we don't really agree with it. And so I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, here's why. But I don't know, maybe you're right. Let's talk about it. And then he shared all the data with us. And he's like, yeah, let's do a podcast. So it's like really, I don't know. I think like they, you know, while VMware like corporate PR has been insane, I feel like Scott was cool in the way that he like reached out.
In case, yeah, anybody that's in this business, we say a lot of things, and not everybody's happy with all of those things all the time. And so we've had situations where that has not been dealt with as gracefully. And so, you know, Scott saying, "Hey, you know, we disagree with you, but here's why. Let's talk about it." Is one of the better ways that we could think to deal with that. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's why we like Scott, because we can appreciate that approach to it, which is awesome.
I wonder if there'd be a fun article. I could probably pull out quotes. Maybe I'll try and put this together in the next few weeks. Like, hey, attention vendors, you just got offended by a blog. Here's what to do and here's what not to do. And I think I can pull actual, I'll scrub everything, you know, but I think I can pull actual quotes with like, you know, do not do these things. And I can actually cut and paste actual examples of shit that vendors did.
I wonder if what the hell, gossipy bitch, was that a vendor that called you that?
I think that was maybe someone in another blog post.
Okay.
There's a blog post titled "Screw You, Brian Madden." Or maybe it was a comment that said "gossipy bitch." Someone called me a gossipy bitch, and I actually registered the domain gossipybitch.com. And now I live in the Castro, so like it just all fits together. But it doesn't. I don't know if I had that domain anymore. Maybe I should.
Do you remember we had a video that played with the audio on as soon as you loaded the page? Do you remember this? And some guy sent you an email that was just the subject "fuck you."
Yeah.
And then all capital letters, like, "This is why I hate you."
Yeah.
Like the video that played sound that got him in trouble with his boss was the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's funny that, like, you know, people, our tech target coworkers, can't understand the sort of added pressure of when your name is on the on the plate, you know. All right. September. We got 2 minutes. September.
September, iOS 7 was released.
Next.
October, VMware buys Desktone.
Ooh, that's interesting.
October 30th, Gabe proclaims that 2014 will be the year of DAZ.
Yeah,
that date in history.
Well, and that's so nice. So that's partly because of VMware buying. Actually, had Amazon announced
No,
that was November.
All right, so I proclaim that just based on VMware then having acquired Desktone, because the whole point of that was that where everybody kind of knew about DAZ, but it was always kind of out there off to the side, and so once VMware acquired Desktone, now anybody with a VMware rep is going to be hearing about DAZ and about how VMware has a DAZ solution, and it's going to become front and center on everybody's minds in 2014. But then, right after that, Amazon announced Workspaces, which if VMware's whole thing didn't take care of making 2014 the year of DAZ, Amazon's sure did. So it's already proven true. I like it when they prove true before the new year even starts. I should have said, actually, that means I was wrong. That means 2013 was the year of DAZ. Damn it.
And the single biggest story of the year is Amazon doing DAZ. In my mind, I don't know what you guys have about biggest stories for your stuff, but
you can see that. Yeah, that is I don't disagree.
Because look at us, Gabe. If we were back to running our own company, and we had to do DAZ, which we probably wouldn't because we wouldn't be using Windows apps. But I mean, if it was like back to us and it's like Brian and Gabe Co. I don't know. Like, are you going to Two Cloud or some other, like, Joe's hosting? I just don't see it.
No, absolutely not. And that's, but that's
Amazon,
why it's huge.
If we hand to VDI at our company, do Amazon, I have no problem. Yeah, fine. No problem.
How is that even a decision?
Yeah.
It's not. And especially, and that's why it's such a big deal, because this year, anybody that had qualms about moving their desktops to the cloud, but had offloaded some other infrastructure to Amazon, has nothing to stand on anymore. They can easily look at Amazon and say, hey, we've already chosen to trust them with other aspects of our infrastructure, so why not move on to desktops? And other companies that are leery of moving anything to the cloud will see that this is happening now. Amazon just has so much to gain from this that it's crazy. VMware is going to have to sell hard to say, hey, you should put your desktops in our data center. We're not offering anything else specifically as a service, but we can give you your desktops. And Amazon can say, we can give you everything right now.
Yeah.
So,
that's a really good point.
I mean, now I'm not saying you can bet that as VMware starts ramping up data centers, and they support all these other cloud initiatives. And so hopefully, you know, there'll be some level of integration between these. And, you know, we don't know actually how the VMware-backed Desktone solution is going to shape up. But Amazon right now, they've got it's all under one umbrella, and you know, you sign on the dotted line, and they can host all your stuff today.
The problem with VMware is they move like glaciers, and Amazon, I guarantee they're gonna, you know, when they release, like, look at how many, I'm still on the AWS mailing list, you know, I feel like every month they come out with, like, so there's already, you know, like 50 different products on AWS. I bet they're launching like 3 or 4 new products per year, and they're iterating like crazy. So every single one of them is, it's like, I feel like every month you get the newsletter, it's like, we have all these new features that they added. And VMware, they are so slow with everything they do. And so I can't imagine, like, they got to really change their mentality if they expect to compete against Amazon with a cloud offering. Because with VMware, what? It's going to be, would they announce it and then like a year and a half later they make one new offering, and then a year and a half later another new offering? Meanwhile, Amazon's doing that, you know, on a monthly basis.
It'll be, I'll be curious to see how they go about marketing against Amazon. You know, they had the very creative smear campaign against terminal services for a long time. So, I just wonder how
technically inaccurate. Right, and Terminal Server has no real backers, because even Citrix is going for VDI instead of backing Terminal Server. So if Amazon, like, you know, if VMware, they can't smear Amazon. I mean, because, yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Right.
All right, what else on your list, Jack?
That's pretty much, you know, 2013, EMM was still a thing all year.
What was the big story for? I mean, do you have any big, like, any major breakthrough kind of story? Like, what was your biggest thing for EMM for 2013?
Well, at the beginning of the year, it was, the big story was like, okay, pretty much all major EMM vendors are doing both mobile device management and mobile app management. And then as the year went by, the big story was, hey, now this operating system enabled mobile app management, which is either through like Samsung Knox or Horizon Mobile or something like that for Android, or iOS 7 with its new capabilities. Like, that's a new thing now as well.
So it's becoming less of a patch on top of OS and more built into the OS itself is like your big story.
Right.
So I remember that, how much that screenshot of the iOS 7, at WWDC this year? Or at Macworld or something like that, where they showed that screen and we took a picture and talked so much about it. Created so much buzz.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was all proud that I took a screenshot of it and sent it to you, and you're like, yeah, I got that too.
Then I was already tweeting about, like, ooh, did you see this in the corner there?
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
And, hey, it turned out that, like, some of those small pieces of text on the screen were actually some big things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Brian, you got a flight to get to, don't you?
Yeah, I've already started packing.
All right.
So that was 2013.
Yeah. It's not over yet. Maybe something will happen next week.
And if it does, go to, I don't know,
some other website.
Go to dabcc.com for the news. Doug, are you working next week? Because I'm not.
So. All right. Well, everybody have a great great holiday and happy new year. And I guess really it's only Christmas. It's Hanukkah was in June, or in June, in Thanksgiving. So over Thanksgiving. So yeah, it's been fun. We'll see you next year.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Great.
See you.